solid potential. But you look at the biggest thing with the offensive line with McNeese is they finally added the size. Their starters probably average somewhere around 6'4", all over 300 pounds. So Bresci's 6'6", 340, starting at right guard. So a really, really, really good size on the offensive line, and that's something that they lacked last year, in my opinion. And they did a really, really good job of revamping this offensive line this year.
Talking about the offensive line, those big guys, the buffet busters, as we call them, they have to provide protection for the quarterback, but most importantly, make those lanes open for the running back. Didn't see a lot from the running game from McNeese last week against Tarleton State. Looked like they put a lot on their quarterback. But what does that running back room look like for them?
I think they have a fairly talented running back room, in my opinion. I know McDowell kind of led them rushing last week, but even with him, he only put up, 67 rushing yards?
Yep, 20 carries, 67 yards.
They still ran for 200 yards as a team, which is fairly impressive. I was really – the one guy I was impressed with, is I didn't expect him to start, was Deshaun Barbie. I didn't think he was going to win the starting job. I thought they were going to lean on Trevante Citizen. He had a lot of hype coming into this offseason. If you remember Trevante, he started his career at Miami as a really, really high four-star kid, has all the potential in the world. So I'm kind of curious to why they didn't lean on him more. He only got two carries last week, but I think they're going to have to be more efficient running the football against Southern, because if you just put it all on McDowell and allow Southern, who I think their best quality is getting after the quarterback, especially with Givens off the edge, if you allow Givens just to pin his ears back and get after McDowell, that's a bad recipe. So I think they're going to have to find a way to be a little bit more efficient running the football this weekend.
Let's look over at the wide receiver, because McDowell is going to have to look for some targets if just in case he does have to get out of that pocket and scramble around. What do they look like at wide receiver?
You know, this is the hardest evaluation because, Perry, you know, we've only seen one game. I don't think the wide receivers were good on a down-to-down basis, but the thing that McNeese made the living off of last week was explosive plays. They had eight plays over 15 or more yards, including both of those big touchdown passes for McDowell, one of which Matthew McAllister took 80 yards for a touchdown to really break this game open in the second half. And then Jamal Levi caught that 43-yarder early in the first quarter. No one else really did anything. Their leading wide receiver in terms of receptions had four catches for 24 yards. That's not going to get it done, in my opinion. So I'm very curious to see how they utilize the receivers on a down-to-down basis this time, because their success rate was under 40% last week against Charleston State, Perry. But they averaged 6.5 yards per play, which was one of the highest amounts, I think, just behind Montana State last week. So they produce explosive plays based on a little bit of film we got on the team, but they aren't necessarily efficient down-to-down basis throughout the game.
And let's look at the guy that they're going to put it all on his back today, Clifton McDowell. Let's break down Clifton McDowell and the type of playmaking ability that he has, because we know one thing, he can get it done with his legs, as we saw last week.
Man, this is the conversation I've really been waiting for, because I understand, like, listen, I want to put this out here. The kid is good. Perry, I understand the drawbacks that you see on film and I see on two. But at the end of the day, the kid just has that, like, it factor a little bit, where when you need a play made, he just always seems to be there, right? You look at last week, I understand Victor got hurt, who's the starting quarterback for Tarleton, mm-hmm. but McNeese's offense looked night and day difference in that second half.
Yep. At one point, he was 6 for 6 for, like, 145 yards and a touchdown.
Yep. Yeah. And that's been the McDowell experience. Like, even if you go back to his Montana film from last year, there was this notable shift, and he blames it on injury, and he very well could have been injured. I'm not going to take that away from him. But in the playoffs, you didn't see that. I call it kind of like a killer instinct for a quarterback. If you go watch his Montana State film, he was 17 for 22, 200 passing yards, 69 rushing yards and 2 total touchdowns. And you switch over to, like, the North Dakota State game, he was just scared to take opportunities to run the ball when it wasn't there. And you kind of saw that last week where in the first half, he didn't look comfortable. He looked good on the first drive, but then from like the second drive of the game to like the mid-third quarter, he did not look like Clifton McDowell, and then all of a sudden it clicked. So here's my take on McDowell is, did it take time for him to get comfortable in the offense, or does he just need adversity to kind of click into that mode where he's got to go get it, and then that's when he turns into this amazing playmaker? Because he put up over 300 total yards last week, so he didn't play a bad game, per se, but I need to see him do more. I will say for Southern, I don't know what their defensive approach is going to be, but just in terms of the advanced analytics I've seen on Clifton, he does not like to be under pressure. He was 13 for 18, 242 and two touchdowns, had like almost a 90 PFF grade when he was kept clean in the pocket. When he was under pressure, he was 1 for 6 with an interception. That's the key for Southern.
Southern's going to have to bring the A game defensively today to create some pressure to keep him out of the way, because if he gets in the way, man, and he's a big kid, he can run you over as well. He can run by you. He is very elusive. Hey, Blue, can you stick with me for a minute? I got to get ready to take a break. Yep. We come back and we talk about some Magnese on the defensive side.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to take a break. We come back. We'll continue to break down today's ball game, Southern University versus Magnese State. My man Zach McKinnell talking with us. Blue, you're my boy. We'll be right back. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Darius Skelton has really had this wave of momentum for Southern.
Yeah, first-year player in this program. I love his decision-making. He makes quick decisions, particularly when running the run-pass option game. That's his specialty. He's been an impact for this offense since he took over as starting quarterback.
Well, Darius Skelton is a dual-threat quarterback. He can throw the football. He's very good at throwing the ball down the field. We're going to work on this spring, those intermediate passes, but down the field, he's one of the better down the field passes that I've seen.
Play action, Skelton going for it all, has a man, and hauling it in is Hunter Register.
And then when you talk about running ability, he has running back capabilities. He can go the distance. He has the speed to go the distance. He has the power, and he has the vision. And I think when you put that with a dual threat quarterback, I think he's the reason why we're so happy about this coming season.
Skelton feeling the pressure. Skelton eludes a couple of tacklers. He's still on his feet. Oh, wow. Oh, my. Little shake and bake. Juke move, baby.
Being a quarterback, man, is not easy at all. It was hard being here and having the expectations to be the starter and not being the starter. It was overwhelming. Like, I was ready to play, and not playing when I was ready to play just made me kind of look at life differently and really think, should I be here or should I not? And I talked to God, and he just settled me down, and he told me to be patient. That's what I did.
Skelton, who started the last 6 games of 2018 for the Jaguars. They went 5-1, their only loss to Alcorn State in the SWAC title game. Taking the jet sweep, and Skelton awfully good with his leg. Blitz. Catch. Register, the receiver at the bottom of your screen. Nice grab. Watch. All who have had an impact here in the early going. Southern stuff. Skelton comes up for the third time. Taking the jet sweep, he'll keep it. A good lead block as he cuts it to the outside. For a few yards here. The time, stepping up into the end zone, has registered. Flag down, catch me, touchdown, and it's action. First quarter yards, Southern 121, Magnese 40. Fresh set of downs as we begin the second quarter. And looking deep, Skelton for register.
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107. All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening across the capital city area, all across the state of Louisiana, 107.3. Our affiliates over in Alexandria and everywhere else. Man, good to have you guys with us. Everybody watching on our YouTube channel, good morning. Hit that subscribe button. If you missed any part of the show, you can always go back and share it with somebody. Or guess what? I can get you all the way to Lake Charles today. If you listen from Baton Rouge to Lake Charles, as you get ready for the game and get you guys caught up on today's big matchup, and everybody watching on all the social media in terms of Facebook, all across the groups and everything else, hit that follow button and follow us on the Jaguar Journal. My man Zach McKinnell talking to us about some FCS football with me. Always enjoy having you on, Blue, as we're talking Magny State on the FCS level. We got on the offensive side of the ball. Let's jump over to the defensive side of the ball, and let's look at Magny State. And an area that I'm going to tell you that I was impressed with, that I slowly started to grow on me, Zach, was last week when I saw them in against Tarleton State in the second half. Tarleton State's first four possessions in the second half, Magny's defense held them to 19 yards, and it started for me up front. I started to really like what their D-line was doing to suppress the run from Tarleton State.
Yeah, I was impressed with them in the second half. It's just I wonder how much it was adjustment compared to Victor's injury, because I'll just say this, Jaden Pete looked atrocious when he got put in the game. It's just an interesting stat for you, Perry. Before Victor's injury, Tarleton State had 24 successful plays in the first half. After he left the game, he only posted 5 successful plays, and I think all of them were Kayvon Britton, which is just insane to think about. I will say this. I was a little bit worried at first. Micah Davey got kind of banged up in the last game, but that's a guy who should be back this weekend. Tristan Driggers from ULM was the other starting linebacker. He looked fairly good. But in terms of defensive line, I was impressed with their interior. They added a lot of size, man. Steven Johnson is the starting nose, 6'4", 330, and he's still technically a freshman. That's just insane to think about. And then they also got Welland Williams as the defensive tackle spot, but I really do think that the spot I need to see more production out of is defensive end. They got the Bandit and Wolf position. Marquez White starts at the Wolf. He was a graduate transfer from Dartmouth. I need to see more from him, especially given that on his film for Dartmouth, man, he was just a playmaker for that defense. I didn't really see that last week. And then Matthew Lewis at the Bandit spot has to be big, even though he's a younger guy, a redshirt sophomore. I think if you're gonna compete with Southern, not only do you have to get after the quarterback because you have to get to Noah so he doesn't get comfortable, you also have to slow down the run. Because let's just be honest, Barry, if there's one position offensively that everyone who's listening to this knows Southern has depth at, is running back.
Oh, yeah.
You have to stop the run or they're just going to run the football and put in a fresh running back every single play, and you're just going to be on your heels the entire game. So this defensive line, especially the nose and defensive tackle, have to play big tonight.
Let's then move over to linebacker for Magny's. What do you see there?
Man, it's all Micah Davey, man. Like I just said, he's just there's a definition of just the right place, right time, and being able to read the play. It's Micah Davey.
And for the people who don't know, he is the son of Rohan Davey, former LSU quarterback.
Yes, yeah. Just an insane athlete. I mean, Perry, he missed some time last game due to injury. He got banged up a little bit, had to come off the field for a bit. Still posted 14 total tackles last week. And that's kind of on the low end for him. I mean, last year, Perry, in only 10 games, he posted 153 total tackles. I mean, he is, and just for the SWAT fans listening, to give him a comparison, he is a more athletic Colton Adams. He's just everywhere. He's going to be in the right place, right time, has great vision. But he also has that speed, acceleration, athleticism to be a problem in the passing game as well. And he generates some solid negative plays for this Big Nice defense. The other one is, like I said, Tristan Driggers, who is a very, very experienced transfer from ULM, 6'1", 202, played a lot at ULM. And so he'll be Davey's running mate back there. And both of those guys have a lot of potential, man. So in my opinion, that's the strongest position on the defense for McNeese, is that linebacker spot.
And let's take a step back and look at their defensive DBs, defensive backs, who are going to try to make it a tough day for Noah Biden to pass the ball. What do they look like from the secondary?
Secondary was interesting last week. I'll say that. I was really impressed with their new starting cornerback, Yusef Leek, who transferred in from St. Thomas. He had a really, really, really solid performance. I think he was their, if I'm not mistaken, he was their highest graded defensive back last week. And then you also got the other corner, Javon Davis, who had a solid outing, but was targeted 5 times, only allowed 1 reception for 3 yards, had a pass breakup. So their two new starting quarters played really, really well. I think safety could have been much improved. I think their safeties were called out of positions at times, especially in the first half. Same with their nickel. Wasn't super impressed with Reggie Ellis coming in, but I think if they stick with Javon Davis, though, they should be fine. But the guy to watch is number 6, Yusef Leek, transfer from Orlando, Florida. That's the guy who I think it caused the problem from the outside.
All right, let's look at the matchup now. We went through Magnese. Hey, if you're just tuning in, my man Zach McKenna, FCS Football Central, talking to us about Magnese State, today's opponent against Southern University. Zach, now as we culminate this and bring it all together, for you, predictions for today, what does this game look like, Southern versus Magnese?
Man, this has been one of the tougher games to predict for me, just because I think it's a must-win in different ways for both teams. I already kind of talked about why it's a must-win for Magnese, just in terms of Gary Goff as his job security and also the trajectory of the program, but Perry, there's been a lot of – this is the first time in a while, and Southern fans have always been super confident since I've been in this space. But this offseason has been a little bit quiet for them because I just don't know if they necessarily know what to expect out of this team. There's a lot of new pieces, totally new coaching staff, and I just think Southern fans are a little bit skeptical of what this thing's going to look like. And when I look at the schedule, if you lose this game – man, Jackson's coming in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, we got to go up to Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be a massive, massive game. And then you've got some tough games looking ahead with PV, Nichols early in the season. So I'm very, very interested to see what Southern looks like. And I think this is a big game for Noah Bonnage as well. If he falls out, my confidence in Southern goes way, way up. And I really, really need Southern to win this game. I think this is a big game for Shelby Givens as well. This is to prove that all the All-American hype is real. Because last year I thought he was a little bit streaky where he filled the stat box in a handful of games but then would disappear in some bigger games, despite of how great of a year he had. So this is a big game for him. And I'm very interested to see what the secondary looks like for Southern too, Perry. That's one of my bigger concerns is just who steps up in the secondary. I think this is going to be a close game, Perry, but when I put my picks in, I had McNeese winning this game by 3. I think it could go either way. This is the definition of me, a 50-50 game, but I do think Clifton McDowell, with his playmaking ability being at home, makes one play to give McNeese this game.
What, for either team, when you're looking at McNeese or Southern, must-win, and for me, I made this point early this week. Now, I think this is a must-win for Southern, and I say this because of the fan base, right? The fan base had to fire coach. We fired a coach last year in Eric Dooley. You started to see the fan base really decline in terms of attendance. Really seemed like they lost faith in the program. And then you bring in Terrence Graves, who was the special teams coordinator last year. Then, you know, you give him the old ball coach title. He goes into the Bayou Classic. We beat Grambling. But for me, this is one of those must-wins, Zach. And I say this simply because Southern has not beaten a football team in the state of Louisiana not named Grambling in over 20-plus years. And for me, you have an opportunity. I get the SWAC games, right? I enjoy the SWAC game. We've been beating them teams and playing those teams for 100 years. But it just feels a little different when you're able to go take on an FCS opponent within your state and you can walk away with a victory versus them because guess what? All they really want to know is your band coming anyway. I'm tired of the disrespect, and I think now more than ever is Southern's opportunity with a Magnese program that is not the Magnese program of the early and the mid-2000s that was rolling on the FCS level. This is a vulnerable program that has a playmaker in Clifton McDowell. But most importantly, for Southern to corral his fan base back up and to start the season, this is a winnable game. It's not ULM. It's not Louisiana Tech. It's not ULL. It's not LSU or Tulane. It is a team that you recruit against for students as well as athletes right there on the same level. And for me, this is one you got to go in and get just to get the morale of the fan base back up and headed into next week home opener against Savannah State and then Jackson State right after that. You get this victory right here, I think this does something because this is a marquee game, whether people see it or not, that Southern has not had a true marquee win in quite some time. And for me, this would be one of those games as a marquee win if we can go in and check that box and get a W next to it. It's something they have not done ever against Magnet State.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Perry. Like I said, I heard you and Dottie the other night too, and I'm on your side on this one. I think this is a must-win game for Summit because you mentioned it. I've talked to Coach Fred on this on my show too. I think it's also the culture of Southern and the fan base of Southern, right? There might not be a fan base that has higher expectations for their program, but people in Baton Rouge do not accept mediocrity. They expect to compete for SWAC championships year in and year out. If you lose to a McNeese State game, regardless of how revamped that roster is, this is a team that didn't win a game last year. And then, you know, you get past Savannah State, but Southern's going to be underdogs in the three games after that at Jackson, at TV, and then Nichols, who won the Southland Conference last year. So if you're underdogs in your next three, if you're 1-4 going into that Texas Southern game, man, the momentum and the excitement around the program is already going to be gone. And Terrence Reyes hasn't even coached 6 games yet. So that's why this game is important. Because if you go into Jackson 2-0 with a win over McNeese and a talented quarterback like Clifton McDowell, Harry, I think we both feel way more confident in Southern's chances to go into Jackson and compete. But if you go in there 1-1 and you don't look good against McNeese, the energy around the program completely shifts. So I agree with you, man. This is a must-win, and I'm really, really hoping to see a big performance out of Southern tonight.
Zach, man, appreciate you for coming on today, man, and talking this game with me as we break it down. Hey, man, give the people, where can they find you to keep up with you?
Yeah, man, at Zach McKinnell on social media. You can find us SCS Football Central on SI.com/college/SCS, and then obviously the Blue Bloods on all podcast streaming platforms and YouTube, man. Myself, my guy, Coach Fred, Timothy Rosario, but Perry, as always, man, I appreciate it and look forward to hopping back on here and chopping it up about some football later this year.
Oh, yes, sir. You know I have you back, man. Appreciate you, Zach.
Absolutely, man.
All right, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the side. We're going to have Jim Klein, Peter, the Advocate. We're going to talk to Southern University football. See what that depth chart for today's big matchup against Magnet State looks like. All right, y'all stay tuned. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journal.
It's On the Yard Sports, and I'm Perry White. And what I need for you to do is go follow and subscribe to our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter right now.
For the first time in the 79-year history of the Southwestern Athletic Conference Elite Championship game determines the overall champion today. Live from Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, it's the champions of the East, Jackson State, taking on Southern, the champs from the West. Everybody, George Johnson along with Charles Mann, and I gotta tell you, Greg Ball once said this is the way it's supposed to be, and it is. Number 11 Southern taking on number 15 Jackson State. Both programs have won 3 SWAC titles in a decade, so it's only fitting in the first SWAC championship game you determine the program of the decade. We've got a lot of offense out on the field, and yet this guy right here, he's gonna tell you this game's all about D. It's always
George, you know that.
Yeah, an all-pro defensive end is going to tell you that. When you think about Jackson State, this is a team that is very potent offensively. But defensively, they've led the SWAC throughout most of the year. And they've got the best player in defense in the SWAC, and that's Tommy Head.
Tommy Head. Get used to saying that name. You'll say it all day. He'll be all over the field. He's always around the football. He's the leading tackler on this team. He also has 5.5 sacks.
At one point this year, Southern led the nation in scoring defense. Then they ran into Florida A&M. They've got a lot of guys out there that can get it done. But at the top of the list is DeMarcus Miller.
DeMarcus Miller, the linebacker coach, Terrence Graves, told me there's one word to describe this kid, and that is relentless. He's only 5'10", 285 pounds. He makes a lot of plays, though.
Relentless, appropriate word for our third member of the broadcast team, and that's Joe Clare, who's standing by down on the sidelines. Joe?
Yes, indeed. I'm down here on the field capturing all the pageantry and revelry that is black college football. Birmingham, Alabama is a lovely city. This is the inaugural SWAC championship in their city, so they came out to have a good time. I will be covering the bands, the
year's Southern Beach Access State, a fourth straight win over the Tigers. But what's most impressive about Southern, they haven't lost the conference game in 25 outings. They put it on the line against Jackson State. We look at the starting lineups brought to you by Western Union Money Transfer, the fastest way to send money worldwide. You saw the backs. Here's your offensive line. Damon Nivens is a first-team all-SWAC member. Defensively, there's your starting lineups for Jackson State's defense. Chandler, Tommy Head, Edward Reese, pretty good middle linebacker. Rashard Anderson is a professional prospect. And they say he will be in the NFL next year. And there's your starting lineup. Brought to you by Western Union. Mark Washington is your quarterback. Destin Wright, the all-time leading rusher in school history, is the tailback. Jeremiah Tom.
All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope you guys are enjoying today's show as we're keeping things rocking and rolling this morning. Guess what? Now it's time to talk some Southern University football as the Jaguars head over to McNeese State today in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Nobody better to talk that with than my guy Jim Klein, Peter of the Advocate. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Perry.
Good to have you on, man. I had my boy Blue on just a second ago talking to us about McNeese State. We broke down McNeese and got a chance to know him from the inside out, offensively and defensively. But now for Southern University, first-year head coach Terrence Graves had his press conference Tuesday. You and I were there. You had an opportunity to talk to him. And now getting this team prepared for his first game with the interim tag off and now having this as his – he is the true captain of the ship. For you, Jim, right now, depth chart-wise, what are we looking at for Southern University offensively?
Oh, well, I think the most interesting area is the offensive line because it seemed to me in 44 years of covering college football, most schools like to have they get the five set and then they have the next best guy. You know, they get the best six guys and then they rotate them in. But Terrence Graves is talking about playing 10 guys on the offensive line. And that's probably due to, the heat. And you want to keep some fresh people in there, but the offensive line is different from the other positions because you've got five guys that have to play in unison every snap. You know, everybody has to take the right number of steps. They have to step in the right direction, all that. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. But I don't think they're settled on their offensive line is one of the reasons they're doing that. So that's very interesting. I mean, they got a couple of starters back from last year, and they got a lot of new bodies, and they're probably going to see who, can really react. I think they're pretty set at running back. You got Kendrick Rimes. You got Kobe Dillon. You had C.J. Russell in receivers. You got Tyler Kirkwood. You got Chandler Whitfield. You got, lots of experienced bodies. And then, of course, quarterback, you got Noah Boden, and I think his poise, his ability to show a little more poise maybe than the other players is the reason he wins out over Xavier Tisset.
Defensively, when you look at the depth chart there, what does Southern look like today as they start this season?
They beefed up their inside guys. They've got some guys back. They got Davin Cotton, Willie Miles, and Zach Yassine back, but they've added some beef, some guys that inside that are going to help them. Darius Jackson, and then their ends, they're strong on the end. They got Kelby Givens is an All-American. You can't doubt him. They're going to want to sub him out a little bit just to keep him fresh so he can be, the best Kelby Givens in the fourth quarter. And they're going to get a boost up from Darius Harry on the other end. But Jelani Watkins has looked good at the end, and I a lot of depth there. So I think their defensive line's looking strong. We'll see how they perform. But the linebackers, you got one of the best in the conference. You got Derek Williams. He's in his fifth year, ready to lead and be the man. And then Joshua Tate and then Vincent Page has been a find as a newcomer, a guy that they really wanted to go get, and he's made a big impact. He'll be in the rotation. And then the secondary, we'll see, but Rodney Johnson at one corner and then Horatio Johnson at safety are going to be the guys that help them help bring up the rest of the pack.
We look at today's matchup, Jim. Let's do it like we always do it, man. Let's get a kind of keys to success today for Southern. What matchups are you looking for? First of all, what do you think Magnese can do to give Southern fits today?
Well, they're going to want to go try to rattle Noah Bodden to see if he can see how poised he actually is. This is a guy with five career starts, four of them at Grambling 3 years ago. So, you got to show me on the flip side, McNeese has a guy who's a six-year senior, at quarterback, and we all know about McDowell. So, I think they're going to try to rattle Noah Bodden defensively. And last week, McNeese got off to a slow start defensively, but they finished very, very strong. So I think they're going to really come after the Southern offense. And I think probably what Southern's going to try to do is they're going to try to move the chains and run the ball on McNeese defense and try to hold on to the ball and then go from there.
I'm looking at this ball game. For you watching Southern, what can Southern take away today from watching McNeese last week? Would McNeese already have played a game?
Yeah, I think Southern's defense has its work cut out for it, and they know they got to play up to a higher level than you might expect in a season opener. Clifton McDowell is going to give them fits. I have a feeling it's going to get very frustrating trying to shut him down. He's going to go back past. They're going to have the receivers covered, and he's going to get just enough yardage for a first down and move the chains. And that's what you're going to give up some of those, and you got to not let that frustrate you too much, and just come back on the next down and try to stop them on first down and force McNeese into third and longs and force McDowell to where, if he does scramble, scrambling for yardage on third down is just a little bit too far to go, and they can stop him short of the sticks. So I think that's going to be a game within the game right there. He's going to make plays. He's going to break tackles. He's a big guy, 6'5", 230. But Southern's defense, I think they're going to be the strong point of this team all season, especially early in the season while the offense finds itself. But they've got a lot more talent and a lot more depth. Henry Miller's very excited. Best defense, he says, he's had in 3 years. The most depth he's had, the most players he's had.
What are you looking for out of Coach Terrence Graves? You had an opportunity to ask him some questions this week. Are you going to feel a certain type of way? Or, what is it going to be like when you touch the field? And, he kind of gave not really. I've been waiting on this. It's happened for a reason. But for you, what do you think with Terrence Graves?
I think he's gonna glide right into this game. This is, you don't coach for 31 years as an assistant and come up and come out shaky, in your first. It's the first time he's been the head coach, but the way his philosophy of head coaching, I think, is perfect. I mean, he's a very calm. You can see how plotted and planned he is. How calm. He doesn't get rattled. I just think he's got the right temperament to be a head coach and at this time, and I think he's not going to let the moment seize him up. He's not going to suddenly look around and say, hey, I'm doing something different. No, he's not going to see it as different. He's going to see, this is what I've been doing for 31 years, and this week, this Saturday is no different.
I think the biggest thing for me today, Jim, is going to be the adjustments, right? Where do I want to go with this? How confident are you in the adjustments with this coaching staff at Southern?
Oh, I think they're going to be good at it. If you remember, I think the last time they played at McNeese, Southern fell behind, but then they made a game of it in the second half. So, Southern can make adjustments. They're smart coaches, okay? McNeese is going to attack. Now, I'm going to say this. McNeese really, I don't think they really know that much about Southern. I was listening to the McNeese coach, and he was telling me that he was talking at his press conference this week that Southern's entire defense is new. Well, that's not the case. Maybe he's playing possum with that comment, but no, I mean, this is not a brand new Southern defense. They are This is a Southern defense that is matched together. So they're going to attack what they think are weaknesses in Southern, and Southern's going to have to figure out how to respond to that if they don't handle, you know, if they can't stop something that McNeese is doing, they're going to have to make a change in their basic plan. But this happens, both sides are going to be making adjustments, because Southern, I think maybe Southern's defense is going to surprise McNeese a little bit, and maybe they're not going to be as disoriented. And offensively, I really think McNeese is going to try to come after Noah Bodden and rattle him early and get him, trying to make decisions too quickly and drop going through his reads and try to make him shaky and get the offensive line committing penalties. That's something that in preseason camp, one of the best signs I saw for Southern was that their offensive line in two scrimmages, 140 plays or so, one false start penalty. And that's not how it was last year.
No, not at all. That offensive line, just costly penalties with false start on third down is in short, where it could have been a easy conversion or at least giving yourself a chance and backed you up. When you look at today with the possibility of the weather, now I'm looking at towards game time, it's supposed to clear out, but just in case, if weather is a factor, how much does that change the game of today?
Well, you know, weather is like the mentally stronger team and the more physical team, because you're gonna have to. You were talking about adjustments. Well, both teams, if the field is sloppy, both teams are going to have to make adjustments. And their game plan, both teams have probably spent time thinking about that. So they're going to have a plan B in case it's super sloppy. And it's going to help. I don't know that it helps either team, because you're playing on the same field. But it's the team that can run the ball between the tackles, I think, in a mosh pit like that. So I like the team that has the more physical offensive line and the more physical running backs and the more physical attitude going in.
You got a prediction for me today?
Man, I hate predictions, Barry. I made a prediction. I picked the Southern to lose this game. I just think it's going to be difficult for their offense. I just think they're going to be building their offense as they go, and it's just a rough opener for their offense and a quarterback and an offensive line that's going to be congealing through the first couple of games. So I see a low scoring game, and I picked it 20-13 McNeese.
I hope you're wrong, Jim.
You always hope I'm wrong.
You know, you're my boy, Jim. Listen, man, I appreciate you for coming on today, man, breaking down this game, giving us some insight, man. I'll get with you hopefully as the season, as we start to go like we did a couple years ago on Sundays. We do those breakdowns and basically game review of what we saw. I know the big game tomorrow with LSU and USC. So I'll get with you if you're free during the daytime tomorrow, midday. Maybe we can get together and do something on the Jaguar Journal Facebook, maybe do a live real quick and a recap of this game if you're available.
Yep, I could probably do something.
All right. Well, hey, y'all hear, that's the voice of Jim Klein-Peter, the Advocate. You read all of his stories because I see it shared everywhere. So this is the voice of Jim. Jim, thank you for coming on today, man.
My pleasure, Perry.
All right, be safe headed over to Lake Charles. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the other side. We get ready to close this thing out. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal.
watching the Southern University Human Jukebox. Click here to watch more videos. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal. Jaguar Journal. Good morning, everybody. I am Perry White. Good to have you guys with us. Glad that you guys are tuned in. Be sure to go follow us on our YouTube, Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And good morning to everybody listening on Radio 107.3 here in Baton Rouge and all our affiliates throughout the state. Good to have you guys with us. Big game. It is week one, ladies and gentlemen. Football season is here. You get to hear the band cranked up. Get your pom-poms ready. Put the flags on the car. Get the ponchos. Get your whatever paraphernalia, my man Thomas White and Mogul Threads will be over in Lake Charles today. So go back early in the show. He gives you the address about four or five times. So you can go back early in the show. He'll tell you exactly where to pull up on him to get your apparel for today or for next week or whenever, as well as ponchos just in case you need it. Chance of rain throughout the forecast today. But by the time kickoff at 7 o'clock today, it seems things are going to clear up. It seems like by the time the lights come on and we're ready for kickoff, all that rain already, but they say it'd be out of the system, right? Big game today, 7 o'clock kickoff, ESPN Plus. So if you got to have the ESPN app, you can watch today's big matchup, Southern versus McNeese State. It's going to be a big one. FCS matchup within the state. I love these type of matchups. I really do when I get a chance to see FCS games. And listen, I'll get back on it. If you're listening today, for me, this is a must-win for Southern University. The Jaguars have to go in and get a victory today for the morale of the fan base. For 2 years, of course, Eric Dooley was the head coach. He was fired last year. I, just like many others, are not going to be oblivious to what I saw every time I walked out of that stadium and heard and saw the frustration of fans of the Jaguar Nation. I know how you feel because I felt the same way, and I'm not going to sit here on this radio and act like it was all good. It was not. We were starting to really lose the hold of people who believed in this football team, who believed in this program, and who wanted to spend their money to support this program. You could start to see it. And I knew it was over when I saw two wonderful, beautiful, classy, very upstanding older ladies. And I heard the words that they were using after a game to describe what was happening. I said, at this point, it's rock bottom. Southern's fan base and everything right now has kind of hit a rock bottom. We need something positive to happen. And for me, positive to happen would be a big victory today. It's just no doubt about it. It has been quite some time since Southern has gotten a marquee victory. For Southern, this would be a marquee victory, no matter what position that McNeese State is in, because Southern has never beaten McNeese State. In over 20 years since it has been the 2000s, we in 2024. So let's go back to the 90s. We know from 2000 to 2024, the Jaguars have not beat a team in the state of Louisiana not named Grambling State. That's Northwestern, that's Nichols, that's Southeastern, that's McNeese, that's LSU, that's Tulane, that's ULM, that's ULL, that's Louisiana Tech. There's a lot of teams. Now, we haven't played Southeastern. We'll be playing Nichols a little bit later in the season. But this is a marquee game. You recruit against these people. They're on the same level as you. You recruit whether it's students coming to your school or athletes that want to attend and play for your school. This is a big victory. And for me, I get it. The SWAC games are all good. We've been doing that for 100 years, right? This one gives me something to brag different because I don't often think they respect us the way that we ask for respect. Because all too often when I go there, all they want to know is the band coming. That means you don't care about my football team. You done already wrote my football team off. Let's get some respect today, Jaguar Nation, and to that football team and walk out of Lake Charles where everybody, as you heard, seems to have us as falling short today. So nobody really seems to believe that we can walk out of there with a victory. That's how big that would be for the morale of the fan base today. That's why I'm so excited to say, if we go in there and get that, and you come into next week against Savannah State in the Pete Richardson Classic, you're starting to help build that morale of the fan base. And if you can go into Jackson State on the road in week three, undefeated 2-0, listen, that does a lot for the psyche of the fan base. And guess what? People don't have such a problem going in their pockets to go pay for tickets when it comes to the home games. For me, that's how important it is. And we just need a morale boost. It's just as simple as that. We need a morale boost. And because of that, today is going to be big. Southern, everybody thinks you're going to be losing. Nobody sees, no matter how you feel about McNeese on the FCS level, they still feel McNeese is the better team. Disrespect. That's how big this game is today. This almost, for me, feels like a rivalry game. It almost gives off the vibe of a rivalry game of two teams that are looking to try to pull a victory. McNeese played last week against Tarleton State. They fell short 26-23. Southern had an opportunity to watch them, but at least McNeese had an opportunity to work out some kinks and see themselves on film. Southern is going to have to work out those kinks and work them out quick, fast, in a hurry on the road, but it does not mean that puts them in a position. Hey, this is not an FBS team we're playing today. This is an FCS team just like who we are, all right? That's why it is such key. Southern has to go in and get this victory. I'm just looking for me that this is huge and it needs to be done. And if they can get it done today, what that does for the morale of the fan base, it boosts you up. It gives you a marquee victory that we have not had in quite some time. Remember, we have not beaten FAMU and Jackson State in quite some time. In this conference, those have been the marquee games. Last year, you go on the road, you lose to Alcorn. You lose at home to Prairie View. Grambling wasn't the team of Grambling of yesteryear, so the Bayou Classic felt good to win to end the season with a victory. But nonetheless, this right here just feels different. It's game one, and most importantly, the Jaguar Nation is going to show up to Lake Charles, and so you have an opportunity as a first impression to make a lasting impression because you know we travel deep in the state of Louisiana. We break everybody's attendance record, so you know it's not going to be anything any different today in Lake Charles. And when you have people from all over the state wearing that blue and gold, packing this stadium out, which I believe it may just be as many Jaguar fans or more than you will have McNeese at their own home game, you have an opportunity to win people over. And if you can win the fan base over on the road in a tough place where nobody has you picked to win, that is great for the fan base moving forward. You give people something to cheer about, and they ride back proud with the flags flying, coming back towards Baton Rouge and wherever else they're going around the state and the region, because I'm sure there are going to be plenty of people coming over from Texas as well, as Southern has a huge alumni base right there in Houston. So they're going to travel over just a couple of hours to make sure that they come support the Jaguars and Beaumont and all of that area, and plus all the people around the state of Louisiana who are going to come want to watch this game today. It is an opportunity for this coaching staff and this football team on the road in a place that nobody believes you can win to get a victory with your fan base right there supporting you, and we're able to walk away with our heads held high saying we was able to do something. Everybody counted us out. That's just how I feel today. It's time for us to get that victory. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Hey, just become a supporter. That's all we need. If you're watching us on our Facebook page, hit that follow button, okay? We'd love to have you, and thank you for everybody listening on the radio all across the state and no matter where. Hey, I appreciate you guys. My man Thomas White, Mogul Threads, will be set up today. Get your apparel and maybe a poncho if you need it over there in Lake Charles. Want to thank Dr. Kedrick Taylor. The band will be in Lake Charles today for today's big game. My man Zach McKinnell, a.k.a. Blue, from FCS Football Central, talking to me and breaking down today from the McNeese side. And my man Jim Klein, Peter, the advocate, talking to me, breaking down the depth chart for today. Man, I want to thank you guys for tuning in each and every Saturday, listening to me. I hope you guys enjoyed. I try to make sure I give you guys a great show and give you what you want when you're looking for information. And that's all I'm trying to do here, man. And so I appreciate you guys for everything. Everybody be safe traveling over to Lake Charles. And if you're going to watch the game and not be able to make it, it will be televised on ESPN+. Get the ESPN app and you'll be able to watch the stream on the ESPN Plus at 7 o'clock with this kickoff. So hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Jim and I may be doing a live tomorrow on the Jaguar Journal Facebook page. So stay tuned as we may review today's matchup. So I love you guys, man. I hope you guys love me. And that's, hey, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I love the Jaguars and the Jaguar Nation. So let's get this victory today, man. And as always, I'll be back next week at the same time in the same place because it's the Jaguar Journal.
All right, y'all, it is CJ. You are listening to KAYT KQJO. You guys, you never know what I got going on when I'm at the station. You know, we like to do all type of great things in the community. Well, we got something that is really, really close to my heart this time, and it's close and dear to my heart. I have two young ladies in the studio with me right now that are putting together an initiative for the community that we're going to talk about, and they are my sorors, Zeta Phi Beta. I have Miss Portia and Miss Sheila. Good morning. How are you ladies doing?
To be in your presence to talk about our initiative this morning.
And I feel blessed to have you guys here. First of all, let's just jump right into this thing. Vote, vote, vote. It's very important for folks to get out and vote, right?
Yes. It's always been important for us as a community to come out and vote because our ancestors and those that came before us, this is something that they actually died for, was the right for us to get out and vote. But especially for this year, it is important for us to go out and vote because there are so many things and so many amendments, legislative policies that are coming on the ballot, especially the presidential election,
right,
to where every single vote matters, every single voice counts. So we are encouraging everyone in the Central Louisiana community, even out of state, if you know anyone, to be sure to go register to vote if you have never voted before. Check your voting status to make sure you are still eligible and with whatever party you are affiliated with. And then most importantly, early vote. Make sure that when you go to the polls, you bring someone with you that may not have transportation, because we must pull together to make sure that we are able to make our voice count.
That is truly, truly important. Matter of fact, to piggyback on what you just said, I saw some stats every year. Millions of Americans find themselves unable to vote because they miss registration deadline. So simple to just go check and find that out. So maybe later on as, and by the way, folks, KAYTKQJO is partnering with Zeta Phi Beta on this initiative to make sure we can do things in the community. Matter of fact, we're gonna talk. I'm just rushing all over the place because I am so excited about what these ladies are bringing to the table, not just locally, but Zeta is bringing this nationally to the table, right?
Right. And on September the 17th, we have a huge push for National Voter Registration Day. So this is the day that the national office has identified that everyone would gather as many folks as they can, make contact with as many people as they can to ensure that they register to vote if they're not registered, and also to validate that their registration is current. That is important with all of the activities that are going on around voter suppression and activities that could really jeopardize your ability to act as you desire on election day. So on the 17th, we're promoting everyone to reach out and register to vote and also to check your registration if you're already registered.
September the 17th, folks, you heard it, National Voter Registration Day. Constitution Day celebrates your share. Okay, so here we go. And we also have to get prepared for new voting laws that have taken effect right now. So through the initiative, we'll be talking different weeks. Matter of fact, maybe we can do a segment on voting laws, maybe do a segment on... Folks, this is my first interview with these strong ladies of Zeta Phi Beta. We're going to be talking about so many different things. So if y'all hear me rambling, you know CJ normally doesn't ramble. But I'm excited because this is my Sarahs, and they're doing something really, really great. for the community.
I would like to say, if you don't mind me interjecting.
I don't mind at all.
What you just said about the changes in the laws, there are laws that are affecting residents of Louisiana. So if you're in listening reach of our audience, you really want to make sure that you are current on your laws. So if you had any slight changes, like you changed your address, you moved, if you changed your name, you got married, you got separated, any of those things can impact your ability to exercise your right on election day. So please make sure if you're registered, check your registration and make sure all of your information is current. And also make sure that the information on your ID matches what is on the registered files for you.
I think maybe as I'm listening to you ladies talk, that needs to be such a strong focus probably every time we can talk about it, to make sure that you guys are registered, make sure your name is right, make sure whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, make sure you independent, whatever you may be, make sure you're registered correctly. Make sure you understand what the voting laws are, and we'll just take it from there. Okay, so ladies, last word. I need, give me, you know what? I'm so far all over the place. Give me something that you guys would really, really like to close the show on, close the interview on with me right now. It doesn't matter.
What we would like to do is to just encourage everyone to take this election season very seriously. I understand that you're going to read a lot of things on Facebook and a lot of people are going to have their opinions and different views. But one thing that we are encouraging as though a community conscious action oriented organization, do your research. Make sure that you are doing your part to represent your community. And that means reading on the what's going on with the legislature, the proposals. Make sure that you register to vote. We all know someone that is not the most technologically savvy.
That's right.
So let's do what we can to help those, especially our elderly or those that may not have the technology resources to check their status.
That's
we
right.
need to come together and make sure that our voice counts, but make sure that our neighbor's voice counts, our mother's voice counts, our auntie's voice count, and also encourage your college students that have went off to college. Make sure that they are registered to vote. And if not, let's pull together and do something about it, because this is an election season where we need to come together to make sure our voice counts and that every vote is counted and represented.
Folks, that was the powerful Miss Sheila, president of Zeta Phi Beta. I tell you, this lady is pure fire. I can just feel everything that she said. Miss Portia, I want to thank you so much for coming in also. I just want to thank you ladies, and I'm looking forward for us working together. We partner to be able to bring some great things to the community. Thank you again, ladies.
Well, thank you for having us. And just know this is not the first time you are going to see us in your
That's team. Right. That's right, folks. Y'all heard it right here. KAYTKQJO.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3.
He's a wonder.
He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow.